Heavenly Father, we thank you for the great honor of worshiping you today. And dear Jesus, we thank you that you are Christ, our Passover sacrifice for us. Speak through me today to bring a message of hope, joyfulness, and encouragement. In Jesus' holy name we pray, amen. The title of my message today is, I Didn't Quit, I Surrendered. I know you've heard of him. He was a prominent lawyer who was a senior partner in a Chicago law firm, an elder in the Presbyterian Church. He suffered great financial ruin in Chicago Fire of 1871. I know you've heard of him. When the fire hit, the city was reduced to ashes and destroyed 95% of his investments. He was in great despair and financial ruin. The blood will be assigned to me, and I will pass over you. The Hebrews heard this promise from God and translated to us as believers in Christ is, the suffering in your life will be assigned to me, and I will be with you, and we will pass over it together. Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. I know you've heard of him. Remember that story? 2 years after the fire, his family planned a trip to Europe. He couldn't go because of business. While the famine was crossing the Atlantic, it was struck by another Scottish vessel. It killed 226 people, including his four daughters. I'm convinced you've heard of him. I know you've heard of him. When his wife arrived in England, she sent a telegram to her husband that read, "Saved alone." I know you've heard of him because you are living today on Labor Day weekend, 2020, a time when we have suffered horrendous fires, COVID-19, systemic racism once again has reared its ugly head. You've heard of him because even though his story is different than ours, yet it is the same. The story asks us, are we as believers going to sink into the depths of despair, or will we allow God to transform our lives into new purpose? This Chicago businessman was filled with grief. He was set up for a lifelong of anger and resentment. Wouldn't you feel that way if you lost this much? Instead, he looks out the side of the boat as he makes his way over to England to visit his wife, and he sings, "When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot you sing it with me, sing it at home. It is well, it is well with my soul." I know you've heard of him because Horatio Spafford, a fellow brother in Christ and great believer with strong faith, could have gone down to the depths of despair, and yet with every loss, he did not quit. Instead, he surrendered to Jesus on a deeper and deeper level. His life gives us this slogan, "I did not quit, I surrendered." What a strength for all of us. How did he do it? The relentless, repeated power of grace flowing into his life. Grace is persistent. Grace is abundance. Grace is surprising. The grace of God changes everything. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. You and I can also sing. Whatever my lot, sing it with me. You have taught me to say, it is well, it is well with my soul. This is the night. This is the night unlike any other night. We hear these words echo in every Jewish home. For 3,500 years on Passover, in the spring just before Easter, a younger member in the family asked the question, what is different about this night? And the Passover story is told. There are two profound similarities between the Passover of the Hebrew people and Christ, our Passover, a sacrifice for us. I know you know them. It's the blood and it's the lamb, right? It's the blood on the doorpost. It's the blood on the cross. It's the lamb roasted. It's Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. The blood and the lamb. Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us so that our sin, my sin not in part, but the whole, is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Sing it with me. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, oh my soul. The Seder meal means order. The Seder meal has order. There's no leaven in the house. Everyone's around the table. All the candles are lit. The Passover Seder plate is full of symbolic. In the same way, following Jesus Christ brings order to our lives. Even in the midst of COVID and the fires and in racism, every single day we as believers in Christ, if we participate in the invitation he gives us through prayer, through acts of kindness, through Bible study and sinking into his word, through outreach, through worship, as we do these acts of order, these spiritual acts of order, we find order in our lives. I called a friend up Thursday night who used to be a member of St. Nicholas Church. He now lives in New York City. He's a restaurant owner and business manager, and recently he sent me a card that was quite despairing. He said, "Ann, all the suburbs can serve outdoors, but we in the inner city cannot." He says, "I'm looking at financial ruin." So I called him up later that day and I said, "Al, would you join me in doing the order of worship for evening prayer together on the phone?" And I said, "Would you please prepare Psalm 37? And I gave him four specific verses. This is what these verses say in Psalm 37. "The blameless spend their days under the Lord's care, and their inheritance will endure forever. In times of disaster, they will not wither. In the days of famine, they will enjoy plenty. The Lord makes firm the steps of the one who delights and honors him. Though he may stumble, he will not fall, for the Lord upholds him with his hand." The prayer time brought Al and I a sense of peace and order. You know, God only asks us to do our part. on a daily basis, and he promises to do his part. When I see the blood, when I see the suffering, I will be with you as we pass over it together. A couple other items on that Seder plate are worth mentioning because they parallel Jesus: the bitter herbs and the horseradish. The bitterness of slavery, the bitterness of Christ in the grave where there was great confusion, and the reminder that we are called not to hold bitterness in our hearts. That's what Matthew's referring to today in his gospel. Don't hold the bitterness. Go directly in love to the one who has hurt you. Salt water, shed by slaves, shed tears shed by Jesus as he wept over Jerusalem and wept on the cross. The matzah, eat quickly, we have no time, we have to flee. Jesus is the bread of heaven. He is the bread of life. And the holes in the matzah remind us how Jesus was pierced for our transgression. And at the Seder meal, there are four cups of wine. It reminds them of Exodus 6, where God promised deliverance in four different ways. This is what he said: I will bring out, I will deliver, I will redeem, I will take. Every time he's promising to bring his people forward. For us as believers, on that Passover night before Jesus went to the cross, he picked up one of those four cups. And he said, this cup is the cup of the new covenant. In my blood, which is shed for you, he inserts himself as the Lamb of God. In each of these 10 plagues, as hard as they are still the relentless power of grace, because in every plague, God is sending out a message: let my people go. In every plague, God is saying, I am going to hold you accountable, Pharaoh. What a gift when a brother and sister in Christ comes to us to hold us accountable. The honesty, the willingness, and Jesus restores order. This actually happened to me yesterday. I was at breakfast, 6 feet apart, with my mask on, with a dear friend from St. John's Episcopal. And after a lovely meal, I said to her, I would absolutely love to go back to your place in Almanor with my husband, who is now newly retired. And she looked at me and she said, well, the last time you used my place up in Almanor, the upstairs bathroom was still dirty and the dishwasher was not turned on. Well, I was mortified, you know. That is not how I wanted to leave this beautiful home. And even though it was my son upstairs, it was on me because I should have checked it out. And we talked and we shared, and I said, I would only want to use your home if we could do something for you up there that would bless you. She softened and she said, Anne, there's nobody using it in September and October. I said, I'm so glad you brought this up, especially on the eve of Matthew 18, 15 to 20. It can be a small thing, it can be a large thing, but we're called to go directly, not doing side conversations. You know, when we look back in Exodus 8 and 9, we hear these words. Moses comes to Pharaoh and he says, we need to be let go. We need to go out into the desert and offer sacrifices to our God. And Pharaoh has two responses. First, he says, you can go, but you cannot bring your animals. And Moses says, that's unacceptable. We need to sacrifice an animal. And he asks again, and Pharaoh says, you can go, but you cannot bring your children. You can't bring your next generation. And then God says that amazing thing that has troubled us, many of us, for years, and yet there's a great purpose to it. He says, I'm going to harden Pharaoh's heart so that you may tell of the goodness of the good deeds of the Lord. This is an invitation that God gives Moses and God gives each of us, that we are to be telling what God has done in our lives. This is how we give each other strength. This is how we help others come to know the Lord. When I was 19, I was returning to Chico State from my sophomore year. I decided that I'd partied way too much my freshman year, and I needed some help my sophomore year. I had gone to Mass every Sunday night, but that wasn't enough. I needed midweek fellowship. So there the Lord provided Campus Crusade, InterVarsity. For the first time in my life, I went to midweek guitar, worship, Bible study. I made new friends. Jesus brought me order. I had a beautiful sophomore year. At 30, I realized there was addiction in my family. It had quite a negative effect on me in terms of codependency. Well, it brought depression, relationships that didn't work. The Lord stepped in and he brought order. He said, Ann, here's 12-step programs. Go to AA, go to Al-Anon, get a sponsor. And as I did that, he brought me order. Following Jesus is the same thing as the Seder. It brings us order in the midst of chaos. From 30 to 40, I struggle with being single. I was supposed to be married, wasn't I? Already having children. God gave me dating relationships, but nothing that led to the right partner for the life he was calling me into. So what did God do? What was his grace? What was the good news? Well, I was in a church with a wonderful pastor. I came to his Bible study every week. It was a three-hour study, believe it or not, making disciples through Bible study. It lasted for 9 months. And we also launched small groups, covenant groups. After 10-week training, the end of the summer, I started a group in my home. And all of a sudden, I had 10 to 12 new friends around my age. This is new order, even in the midst of struggle. All right. When I was 48 and 51, I adopted 3 children. Oh my gosh, am I over my head again or what? Chaos. I cried out to the Lord, help me. One's from Russia, one's from here. Between therapists and friends at church who had already been through that route, he brought me order. He brought me love. He brought me ideas. I still need therapists, sponsors, friends who are walking the journey. But you know, that's the Lord helping me pass over the struggle of my life. Since the fire, there's absolutely nothing the same in my life. Not the house, not the car, not the job, not the hair, not the health, except one thing. My Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who has helped me pass over each and every of these struggles. Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. I got out of my car Wednesday night at the Save Mart parking lot. And across the way from me, I mean, it was no more than 12 feet, there was a homeless man leaning against the wall. And his eyes met my eyes. It was like a laser. It was almost eerie. I could not avoid this man, and I simply knew the Lord was calling me. So I walked up to him and I said, would you like to have some dinner tonight? He said, yes. And I said, well, would you like the Asian restaurant or Subway? And he says, I'd like Subway. And so we walked over to Subway, and he ordered himself a foot-long steak and cheese with everything he wanted. And after that event, I knew from the depths of my heart that I was the one who had received more grace than he had. He said, thank you. And you know what? I'm not telling you that to toot my horn. I'm only sharing this to say that that event brought order. I had been in a counseling office all day, 6 or so hours. It was a great day, but it was an ordinary day. And I needed a way to be alive in God's kingdom, to do something to remember that I'm a daughter of the King. And that event made my entire night. I'm still thrilled about that event. I'm almost done. Hang on there now. Anna, Horatio's wife, was utterly devastated after the loss of her 4 children. But she testified in her grief and despair that she had been conscious of a soft voice who spoke to her. You were saved for a purpose. And after the ship sank, she gave birth to 3 more children, and 1 died of scarlet fever. This final tragedy, after a decade of loss and personal grief, deepened the life of Anna and Horatio. They moved away from material success towards a lifelong spiritual depth of more time with Jesus. They began hosting prayer meetings in their home and soon felt called to join 13 other Christians to go to Israel, where they served. They had an American colony. They served the needy, helped the poor, cared for the sick, and they adopted a young boy named Jacob, who was 13 years old. Horatio himself died 7 years later at age 60. But Anna continued work in the poor areas of Jerusalem for 35 more years until she turned 81 at her death. She had order. When I see the suffering, I will pass over and I will be in it with you and I will give you order. Wherever you are in your life today, whether it's suffering, maybe just a new season, looking forward to marriage, looking forward to retirement, not having enough to do, whatever it is, the Lord has order. If we surrender, if we say like Horatio did, I did not quit, I surrendered. Remember, the Exodus story ends with the dance of Miriam. The horse and rider have been thrown into the sea. Holy cow, riding out into the sea, chased by Pharaoh's army, waters of wall on both sides, crossing over, not knowing, a year of trauma that resolves into a song. What next? Miriam was able to see the grace of God, because the grace of God changes everything. They did not quit, they surrendered. May we do the same with our lives, and sing the song today that Horatio gave us with deep joy. Amen.